Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
We all want the world in which we live to be a better place. And we have countless opportunities to contribute in small ways and large ways to making the world a better place. However, most of us tend to resist what is necessary to contribute to make the world a better place. We want to get the most out of life, but we struggle with almost a tension of a tug of war between wanting to get the most out of life and doing what's required to get the most out of life. The 20th century psychologist Abraham Maslow, who is most well known for his hierarchy of needs, identifies this tension as something that he calls the Jonah complex. And the name of the Jonah complex comes from one of the most famous stories in the biblical narrative about this tug of war. The story of Jonah, for most of us that have heard it, and some of us haven't heard it, but for those who have heard it, most of us connect the story of Jonah with one other character from the story, the whale. Well, the great fish is only part of Jonah's story. Whether it was a whale or not, we don't really know. The biblical narrative just tells us it was a great fish. But it's only part of the Jonah story. The Jonah story is so much more than Jonah and the whale. In fact, the Jonah story is set up in such a way that it leaves people like me and people like you to figure out our own tug of war, especially in relationship to pursuing the kind of life that God desires for us to experience. Well, Jonah was considered a prophet in the nation of Israel, which was in simplest terms, someone who communicated God's message to the people. And one day, God sends a message to Jonah that kind of catapults this process of tug of war for Jonah. And here's the message that God gave to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Nineveh was the capital of the nation of Assyria. And Assyria was the great superpower of the time. Assyria basically chewed up and spit out countries right and left. At a point in time of its history, the nation of Israel divided into two separate kingdoms. The northern kingdom consisted of 10 tribes. The southern kingdom consisted of 2 tribes. The northern kingdom of 10 tribes was basically overcome and annihilated by the nation of Assyria. Assyria was hated by the nation of Israel. The people of Assyria and the people of Nineveh were hated by the Jewish people. Apparently, even Jonah, because here's what Jonah does in response to God asking him to go to Nineveh. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Jonah doesn't only not go to Nineveh. Jonah goes in the complete opposite direction. And notice that he goes not to get away from Nineveh, but he goes to get away from God. He goes to get away from what God is asking him to do, to contribute to making the world a better place, specifically for the people of Nineveh. Now, Jonah makes this effort to get away from what God is asking him to do. And here is how he goes about that. The text tells us, he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. In Israel, Jonah would have been about 725 miles or so away from Nineveh. But in Tarshish, Jonah would have been almost 3,000 miles away from Nineveh. So apparently, Jonah believes that putting distance between where he is and where he goes is enough to put distance between where he is and what God is asking of him to do. And there's an interesting detail that's going on in the story. Jonah bought a ticket. Now, in the ancient world, it was heavily predicated on a barter system. So it's possible that Jonah traded goods or services in some way for his ticket on the ship to Tarshish. But it's also possible that even though money and currency was scarce among the Jewish people, that Jonah somehow had the means to purchase his own ticket for himself, which would have been very uncommon and would have spoken to the wealth and status that Jonah potentially had. There's this phrase, the ships of Tarshish, which was used several times throughout the Old Testament part of the biblical narrative to refer to greed and self-sufficiency. Tarshish itself was a very wealthy and powerful city, and it became a center for greed and self-sufficiency. And so Jonah's desire to go to Tarshish rather than Nineveh may actually say something about the type of tug of war that's going on in his heart in relationship with God. Now, for those of us who know the story, we know what happens next. But if you don't know the story, batten down the hatches, because things get really interesting really quick. A violent storm breaks out, and the members of the crew on the ship that Jonah is on begin to throw everything overboard to try to lighten the load of the ship so that it doesn't sink. Meanwhile, Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the boat. After the captain of the ship goes down and awakens Jonah and brings him topside, the crew cast lots, which was a way of kind of determining things in that day, to see who was responsible for the storm. And the lot fell to Jonah. And Jonah is asked what his story is. And here's part of what Jonah shares with the crew about his story. I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Jonah tells the crew that he's a Hebrew, and he worships God. In the ancient culture, every tribe and ethnic group had its own God. And during this storm, the sailors were likely praying to their own tribal God. But something fascinating is happening in this story as the sailors are being introduced to Jonah's God. In the Hebrew language, there are three words that are typically used for God. One is Elohim, and that's a general term for any god of any type. So Elohim would have been the word that would have been used for all the tribal and ethnic group gods that were referred to. The second word is Adonai, and it's translated Lord, and usually in lowercase letters. And it was a term that was used to describe someone in general who had a position or a role of authority. The third word is Yahweh. And it's also translated Lord, but usually in all uppercase or all capital letters. And it is used exclusively to describe God, the Hebrew God, Jonah's God, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, who desires a relationship with people. People like you and people like me. The sailors are being introduced to Yahweh God, to Jonah's God. And maybe in this process, maybe their belief begins to shift from their Elohim God to Yahweh God. They ask Jonah, well, what should we do? And Jonah says, since I'm responsible for the storm, since my running from God is responsible, then throw me overboard. And if you throw me overboard, you will be okay. And this tug of war will end once and for all. For whatever reason, the sailors choose to keep Jonah on board and keep rowing and keep trying to keep the ship from sinking. And one of the most interesting parts about their decision is that they actually have more compassion for Jonah than Jonah has for the people of Nineveh. Well, at some point, the sailors recognize that their effort is going to be futile. So they make the decision and they ask God, they beg God to not hold against them what they are about to do. And interestingly, as they beg God to not hold against them what they are about to do, three times they refer to him as Yahweh. And here's what happens next. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. Now, this may be really challenging for some of us, but imagine being in the midst of this story and watching it unfold. This is perhaps the most violent storm these sailors have ever experienced. And they throw Jonah overboard, and the storm stops all at once. During the storm, their attention had been on their Elohim God. But after the storm, their attention became fully on Yahweh God. So maybe God is up to something in the story. So much more than Jonah. So much more than the great fish, which we haven't even gotten to yet. What is taking place in these sailors is no bit part in the story. It is central to the message that God sends to people like us about the relationship that he desires, and the tug of war that we experience between desiring what God wants for us and doing what's required to embrace what God wants for us. The sailors throw Jonah overboard, and here's what happens next. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. This ship of Tarshish, which is typically a symbol of greed and self-sufficiency, now becomes a place where these sailors are introduced and embrace Yahweh God. It is no bit part in the story. Jonah thought that running away from God and not going to Nineveh, where God wanted him to go, would put a distance between him and God. But in the midst of Jonah's running, in spite of Jonah's running, God is up to something in the story and is accomplishing something far more than Jonah would have even imagined when he bought that ticket to go on that ship. Well, again, if you know the story, you know what happens. If you don't know the story, it seems a little bit difficult to wrap our minds around. But the biblical narrative tells us that when Jonah gets thrown into the sea, a great fish comes and swallows him. And then it tells us that he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of this great fish. And that gave him time to reflect on his decision to run from God. The biblical narrative tells us that Jonah prayed to God while he was in the belly of the great fish. And in that process, he came to realize how his decisions had landed him where he was. Something began to happen in Jonah's heart. But what began to happen in Jonah's heart still didn't fully end the tug of war that he was experiencing. God comes back to Jonah a second time, and this time, here's what God says to Jonah. Or he asked Jonah to go to Nineveh again and to declare a message to the people of Nineveh. And here's Jonah's response. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh. The reason there was a this time was because Jonah didn't go the first time. The reason there was a this time was because Jonah refused to do what was required to make the world a better place and to do what do his contribution to make the world a better place and get the most out of life. When God asked Jonah to go the first time, it was with a message of judgment against the nation of Assyria. This time the message is a little more specific. Jonah is to tell the people of Nineveh that in 40 days, God will destroy the nation, or destroy Nineveh because of the wickedness of the people. Now, when we realize that that's the message God wants Jonah to communicate, we can kind of understand a little bit why maybe Jonah didn't want to go, because sometimes we know what happens to the messengers. But Jonah goes, and he delivers this message, and the response he gets is different than what he expected. Here's what the text tells us. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. Not only did they believe, but the people of Nineveh change. And not just the people of Nineveh, but the king changes. And the entire nation of Assyria changes. They recalibrate their approach to life to serve Yahweh God, which is an amazing thing. And maybe that's part of the point of why God wanted to send Jonah there in the first place. But apparently 3 days in the belly of a great fish didn't reconcile this tug of war with Jonah between who God is and what Jonah desired and how Jonah felt about the people of Nineveh. Because here's what the storyline tells us. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Jonah had just played a role in saving an entire nation from being destroyed, and he's upset and he's angry about it. Jonah has just contributed to a group of people coming to know Yahweh God, and he is upset and angry about it. So Jonah does what most of us do when we're upset and angry about doing what God wants us to do and the results not turning out like we thought, or like we had hoped, or maybe like we had preferred. So Jonah complains to God about it, and here's what he says. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Apparently these are bad things. Well, at least they appear to be bad things for Jonah in relationship to the people of Nineveh. The words that Jonah uses here are actually a quote from one of the most historic moments in Israel's history, when God revealed himself to Israel's leader at the time, Moses, on Mount Sinai. But the interesting thing is that what Jonah communicates here, he leaves out a very important part. He says all these things about God's compassion and mercy and his unfailing love and his eagerness to turn back. But the other piece that Jonah doesn't tell is God, in unbounding truth. And when he communicates what he communicates while leaving that piece out, it's an indication that he is not trusting God, that he is still wanting his own way rather than God's way. And apparently, Jonah isn't done complaining, because he goes on to complain to God and say, "Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." So let's wrap our mind around this. Jonah would rather be dead than for the people of Nineveh to be rescued from destruction. Jonah would rather be dead than for the people of Nineveh to come into right relationship with Yahweh God. But also notice that Jonah says, "If what I predicted will not happen." So maybe Jonah has a little bit of an ego problem. Maybe Jonah has a little bit of a pride problem, and he doesn't want God to do something different than what he told, even though what God really wanted was for the nation of Assyria to turn to him rather than to be running from him. "I would rather be dead." Well, Jonah is challenged on this by God. And Jonah, when asked by God if he has a right to be angry about this, doesn't actually answer the question. Instead, Jonah once again runs to the east side of the city, and he begins to pout. And he begins to just stew in his misery and his anger. He's sitting out in the hot sun, and a plant grows and provides shade for him. And Jonah's very grateful for the shade. Jonah's very grateful for the relief. But the next morning, a worm comes, and the worm eats away the plant, no longer providing shade. And Jonah is once again very angry. And then God speaks into Jonah's circumstances and into Jonah's life in a way that reveals that God is up to more than what Jonah might think, and that the story is more than about Jonah and more than about the whale. And here's the point that God makes. "Then the Lord said, 'You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?'" Jonah thought that running would be the answer to what God was asking him to do. Jonah gets angry about the people of Nineveh having the opportunity to turn to God. Jonah gets angry about a worm that eats a plant. And God kind of tries to push pause on all of that thought for Jonah, and says, you get angry about these things, but you did nothing to cause or create or any of them. But over here is a people who are in spiritual darkness, disconnected from relationship with me. Shouldn't I care about them?" See, the story of Jonah is so much more than the story of the whale. The story ends with Jonah just sitting there. And we never know how his tug of war with God draws to a close. And that may be kind of the point, because it leaves us wondering not just how Jonah resolved his tug of war, but how we would resolve our own tug of war. The story of Jonah is about the sailors. It's about the great fish and what God accomplished in Jonah's heart and life in the belly of the great fish. It's about the people of Nineveh and the opportunity to turn to God rather than to run from God. It's about me. And it's about you. It's about how whether we say no or yes to God lies at the core of our story. We all want the world in which we live to be a better place. And we all want to get the most out of life. But oftentimes we experience this tug of war between wanting the world to be a better place and wanting to get the most out of life and what is required for the world to be a better place and for us to get the most out of life. Especially a tug of war when it comes to right relationship with God and what He desires for us, what He desires to do in us, and what He desires to do through us. Sometimes getting the most out of life means going to Nineveh. But always getting the most out of life means going where God wants us to go and doing what God wants us to do and striving with all that we can to stay connected in right relationship with God. When we do, we will never have to experience the fear of missing out on anything. Let me pray for you as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for the story of Jonah. But thank you that the story of Jonah is so much more than just the story of Jonah. The story of Jonah is a story of your great love for us. The reason Jonah didn't want to go was a lack of love. And help each of us discover your great love for us that results in a great love for others, for those around us, and for the world in which we live. But most importantly, help your great love for us to produce a great love for you in return. That leads us to be willing to go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do to make the world a better place and to get the most out of life. And for this we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for choosing to connect with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. We pray that this time helped you take a step in your relationship with God and as a follower of Jesus. And we hope that you'll connect with us again next time for the last and final part of the hashtag FOMO series.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.